Welcome back to Innovation Hub. I'm Kara Miller.
Some of the most famous fashion designers in the U.S. today have been asked to forecast what Eve will look like in A.D. 2000. One idea is a dress that can be adapted for morning, afternoon, or evening.
We've been wondering for a long time what the clothing of the future will look like. In a 1930s newsreel, designers tried to predict what people would be wearing in the year 2000. Here's what they say men might be sporting.
There won't be any shaving, collars, ties, or pockets. He'll be fitted with a telephone, a radio, and containers for coins, keys, and candy for cuties.
So today we look into that future with local inventors, clothing visionaries, and one of the innovators at the sportswear company Under Armour. And I'm joined first by Kim Blair, who's the vice president of Cooper Perkins and the founding director of the Sports Innovation Program at MIT. Kim Blair, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm wondering, do you feel like we are on the cusp of somewhat of a revolution in what we wear and the kind of fabrics that we use for clothing?
Absolutely. We've seen over the last several years a big influx of new kinds of fibers that perform in all kinds of ways to help adapt to the environment that you're in with wicking and moisture management and odor control, certainly on the performance and the athletic side. Those of us who are old enough can certainly remember going outside running in a cold, wet day in cotton sweats. Fortunately, those days are long behind us. What's happening now, though, is that the fields of material science and chemistry and electronics are all starting to merge now. And the real innovation is starting to happen at the boundaries of those areas so that we're going to see things in the future like more and more integration between those fields of science and engineering, resulting in embedded electronics and eventually smart materials that can really enable clothes to do a lot more adaptable things for the wearer.
Okay, let's break down some of those things. So let's talk about what you think are some of the most cutting edge kinds of clothes that are on the market right now, which people may or may not have seen yet.
So what's on the market right now is a variety of materials using different types of polymers, for example, to manage different aspects of behavior. So there's moisture management, there's odor control, and the things that are just coming on the edge now are things like phase change materials and materials that can retain certain shapes or change certain shapes based on conditions and to adapt to the environment.
Okay, so when you say moisture management, this is the idea of you sweat and that sweat gets wicked away from your body so you're not running around with a sweaty shirt, right?
That's one aspect. And actually, interestingly enough, that's been kind of the aspect we've seen in the past thus far. Then you start throwing in the real sports science research and the physiology research and human adaptation. And now some of the research is coming out now is indicating that actually wicking may not be the best. May we actually help to keep some of that moisture closer to the skin for control? And so I think what we'll see is as we start to understand in the field of human physiology and performance, we may see some changes in how they manage moisture, for example. But the goal is to keep the right amount of moisture near the skin, depending on the conditions you're in, whether it's, you know, high heat, low heat, high humidity, low humidity.
Okay, and now phase change. Now, a lot of people do not know what phase change materials are, but it's a really, really interesting concept. What is phase change?
At its simplest concepts, a phase change material changes something about itself based on its environment. So probably the simplest example for apparel might be you have a shirt where this phase change material is integrated into the shirt, and perhaps under certain heat conditions, the fibers would elongate and open pores in the shirt to allow better ventilation.
So you really have something that's sort of picking up on the temperature of your body and taking away some heat if it needs to, or maybe restoring some heat, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And I know this has been used. Like, NASA has been using phase change for quite a while. Why was NASA using phase change materials?
We've seen it actually in a lot of places. Phase change materials certainly used in NASA. The other interesting area is where I've seen some demonstrations come out of some of the labs at MIT is in self-tying knots, like for sutures and things like that, examples of things like that. So again, the material changes shape based on the conditions. And so they're developed to solve problems in that particular environment that, you know, you don't have to necessarily have control over. So if you set up the right environmental conditions and match the characteristics of the material to the environmental conditions so that the phase change happens at the appropriate time, then it can be self-activated.
But do you think it's possible that we're going to have phase change in all sorts of things in the future so that you know, you're wearing your suit or you're wearing your athletic wear, and you're kind of a couple degrees hotter than you should be, and it takes away those couple of degrees and restores them to you when you go back into your sort of air-conditioned office or home.
Well, that's certainly the dream of the future. Uh-huh. A couple degrees actually is hard, harder mm-hmm. than one might think. That's a pretty big swing. And, you know, the other thing is on all of these technologies in sports and apparel or anything like that, particularly on the consumer side, is, you know, the science and technology may enable the innovation to happen, but without some insight into user behavior and user desire for the product, products may actually never see the light of day. So a good part of that is understanding how people may want to use those products.
Okay, so while we're talking about stuff you wear and some sports clothes, is there incredible cutting-edge stuff that's going on right now to help athletes perform better? I mean, we saw those full-body Speedos right in the 2008 Olympics, I think. Is there amazing stuff that you see happening for professional athletes?
So what we're seeing now is a couple interesting things. We certainly saw the first of the full-body suits back in 2000 at Sydney, and those evolved through 2004, 2008. And then in 2010, FINA, the world body that organizes swimming events, said, no more, we're done. And so now we're back to waist to knees, so the jammer suit for men.
I was wondering why they were less sort of, they do not, exactly, that's right, they go from the waist to the knees. And it's because they thought that the Speedos were giving the competitors too big an advantage.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So the world swimming body decided, geez, you know, this is changing the face of our sport. And so we want to roll it back. We've seen this happen in other sports, too. We saw this happen in cycling in the 1990s with the way bikes were built as well. So it's not uncommon for technology to leap ahead of the sport and then the sport to decide that it's gone too far and pull it back some.
And do you see interesting things happening in other sports besides swimming where the technology is really powerful? That's fascinating that they were like, nope, too much technology. Let's focus on the swimming a little more.
Yeah, so I think what's most interesting in sports, sticking to the apparel thing first off, you'll see a lot of very subtle things if you watch carefully with any of the speed sports with running and things like that and the way they're using surface textures to control airflow. So you'll see some fairly high-tech suits there. I think what's most interesting that people aren't going to see unless they really do some research and go looking around on the internet, for example, is all the background science and engineering that's gone in over the last 4 years in prep for this Olympics. We have technologies available to us now that, you know, literally 4 to 8 years ago weren't here. You know, high-speed digital video imaging systems that, you know, captured nuances of motion, miniaturized sensors and electronics now that can capture little bits of information about what individual body parts are doing at certain times during event. And all this gets folded in with the trainers and the athletes to really go after those last final few percent.
We're joined now by two local entrepreneurs. And before I bring them in, I'm going to give you a little clip from their Kickstarter campaign trailer. Let's listen to it.
As MIT engineers, we design spacesuits that regulate astronauts' body temperature using what's called a phase change material. We use that same technology in the blend that became Apollo. We're literally taking technology from space and putting it in your shirt. Imagine you're outside on a hot day. Apollo has the power to actually absorb and release heat, like a battery. And by pulling that heat away from your body, it leaves you feeling much cooler.
And we're joined by Gihan Amarasiriwardena and Kevin Rustagi, two of the founders of Ministry of Supply, which is aiming to change dress shirts. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us. Thanks a lot.
So how did you get this idea that dress shirts need to be changed? They need to be fundamentally rethought.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things we looked at is, you know, we were athletes at MIT. Kevin was on the ski team. I was on the cross country and track team. And one of my teammates approached me. He worked at Fidelity, took the T to South Station, and he just sweat through his shirts every day. And so you get to the office really uncomfortable. And so what we thought is, what if we took the fabrics from our running shirts and poured them over to business wear? And so Kevin and I were both really passionate about product design. I worked a lot with Kim on sports technology. And so it's just a natural fit. Let's make that technology transition.
So you guys went to Kickstarter, which is this website that allows people to give you money to reach a goal for a project. And I know you were looking for $30,000 initially to get the first model of your shirts underway, but you ended up getting over $400,000. How did that happen?
magic pixie dust. It was really exciting. We focused a ton on the story, and really communicating the technology, because that's something that really distinguishes our company. It's unique. It's really a product design focus. And bringing technology into an industry that hasn't really seen a dramatic change in decades, if not the past century. So we communicated that very specifically in our Kickstarter video. And we're all about iteration, fast design. We actually put up our video for Kickstarter in the beginning. We thought that it communicated the technology well, but it wasn't perfect. And so during the course of our Kickstarter campaign, actually halfway through, we posted a new main video. And the video, for those who don't know, is one of the main ways that people understand what your Kickstarter project is. So we really focused on the story, as well as a big PR push with that.
And is your sense, Gihan, that what people were really interested in was the notion that the shirt acts a little bit, and you say this in the video, like a battery, so that it can sort of store some of your heat, and then you go from South Station, where it's really, really hot, to your air-conditioned office, which is really cold, and it gives you back some of that heat that you needed to give away before.
Yeah, you know, the fundamental thing about our shirts and designs for products is that your skin is a protective layer for your body, and the whole time it's trying to regulate temperature, moisture, and things like that. And we wanted to design a shirt that was essentially a second skin. And so we looked at a number of features, but the key thing is dealing with heat. And we thought the phase change materials, which was originally developed for NASA spacesuits, was a great way of doing that. It's called thermal buffering. And phase change materials, they're a battery, and they do that great. But in addition, we also do things like moisture control and odor control as well. So it's really about the same functionality as your skin and making that better and allowing it to complement your body.
When are these dress shirts going to be sort of out there, going to be manufactured, available to people?
Yeah, so we're actually right in the middle of production right now. You know, much to our surprise, obviously, we were 1,400% above our original pledge amount. And so we had to change some of our manufacturing, but that's fine. We're still keeping it here in the U.S. We do summer production still in New York, but a lot of it we're moving to L.A. We're working with some great manufacturers. They work with some of the top performance gear manufacturers like Patagonia, New Balance, Mizuno.
Now, have big companies gotten in touch with you and said, oh, we're interested in owning this technology or, you know, buying it from you or partnering with you in some way?
Yeah, so we've got a lot of approaches for, you know, licensing our technology, but with Ministry of Supply, we look at this as a whole product design. And so it's not just the material. It's the way we design the shirt. It's how we construct it, how we manufacture it. And so we think that in order to get that full experience, we really have to develop the entire product. And so right now, we're looking to do all our stuff in-house.
We're joined now by Kevin Haley, the Senior Vice President of Innovation at Under Armour Innovation Lab. And he is joining us on the phone from Baltimore. Kevin Haley, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
We're talking here about phase change materials, something new coming to dress shirts. And I wonder, from your perspective at Under Armour, and I know you're sort of always working on trying to develop new things in your lab, what do you see as sort of really cutting edge right now in clothes?
Yeah, I think the phase change materials are fantastic. I think that's really exciting. I think the Ministry of Supply has really hit the right market for that, right? Dress shirts, it's perfect. And I think where we focus is a little closer to the field or the court or, you know, areas of athletic endeavor. And I think, you know, what we're seeing are really three big trends. One is the quantified self. People want to know what's going on inside their body. They have a great view into what's going on inside their car, but they have very little to tell them about how their workout is progressing. And so we have an E39 biometric shirt that addresses that.
So we know what your dashboard tells you about your car, all these different things, coolant and how much gas you have and how fast you're going. What does the shirt tell you about your body?
We can pick up various signals from the body using sensors in the shirt that allow you to monitor things like heart rate as well as, you know, different types of movement that can then be filtered through a variety of algorithms, which then tell you precisely how hard you've worked out and how that workout has compared to prior workouts. So you can see, am I undertraining? Am I overtrained? Do I need to do more? Do I need to do less?
That's one thing, the sort of wearable electronics, it sounds
correct.
Like. And
yep.
Then what are the other trends that you're seeing?
The one that I like to call one garment, where I feel like for a long time, people have gotten used to the notion of layering, which I really look at as sort of a workaround. It's sort of it's evidence of a problem, that they don't have one garment that addresses all their needs. Something as simple as a golf shirt, and nobody thinks of that as a problem to solve in terms of one garment. But the truth is, for years, you know, people had a black shirt or a navy blue shirt that they really could only wear on a cold day or a cloudy day, because if you wore it on a hot sunny day, you're going to cook. So we came out with something called Cold Black, which can be used in any color, but it's an infrared reflecting technology, so that if you wear that on a blazing hot summer day, it's going to actually reflect the infrared heat of the sun away from your body and keep you cooler and more comfortable. What I've found, and we haven't had time to study this yet, but what I've found is that when I wear it on that cool day, and this could be, you know, walking to the office or on the golf course, it actually is reflecting some of the infrared heat that your body is losing, and you just feel more comfortable in general. And we've seen it all the way through to even we launched something this year called the Highlight Boot, which is a football cleat that goes all the way up to your calf muscle. But really what we had seen was people were taping their ankles, then they were wearing an ankle brace, and they were putting a low-top football cleat on, and then they were taping over that all the way up their ankle. And we said, why can't we do this in one piece? And so we came up with a football cleat that is super light, super flexible, but goes all the way up your calf and eliminates all the taping and the bracing.
These multiple steps, you want to try to avoid things that happen in 4, 5, 6, 8 steps and compact it.
Yeah, we want to come up with elegant solutions that you can have one product. Now, that cleat costs $130, but people are gravitating towards it. It's flying off the shelves because it's replacing the pre-wrap, the tape, the brace, and then the tape over top. And then the whole package ends up being lighter so they can actually run faster. So we're solving a problem for the athlete in one fell swoop instead of with a bunch of little workarounds.
Okay, look ahead for us a little bit. What do you think the next, let's say, 3, 5 years holds in terms of innovation in clothing?
Yeah, I think there's a lot out there. When you look that far out, I think there's huge opportunity for adaptation, and not human adaptation, but really for that garment to adapt to either the environment or to your physiology. Not just to keep you cooler and lighter and drier like we've been doing for a long time, but really to adapt in a way that maybe it completely changes based on the weather. So the actual insulating properties of the garment or the waterproof, breathable qualities of the garment can change. And really what it gets down to me is looking at an industry. When you look at 10 years out, we've got an industry that's still artisanal. We're still sewing stuff in a way that's not all that different than back in the Middle Ages, which was got sewing machines. But it's a Ford Model T production line with sewing machines. And I think moving from that artisanal construction to things like robotics and welded seams instead of sewed seams is really going to open the door to products that can do much more. And then you combine it with adaptive or adaptation in the textile, and Katie bar the door. There's a huge, huge opportunity for companies like Ministry of Supply or Under Armour to really revolutionize the way people dress.
We're talking to Kevin Haley from Under Armour's Innovation Lab about the future of clothing. And Kevin, let me ask you, I know some of the very interesting ideas that have come to Under Armour have actually come from people who are consumers, from users, not necessarily from the top down. So talk a bit about some of those interesting ideas that have filtered into you from the outside.
Yeah, it's one of the funnest parts of my job is we have a very open approach to innovation. We call it open innovation. We're the exact opposite of the not invented here syndrome. We want and encourage outside inventors, companies, really universities, anyone to bring us the greatest ideas out there, and then we will bring them to the consumer. And so we've been very fortunate in that. We had, you know, recently one of the ones that I can talk about is because it's out in the market is something called the Core Short. This is a compression short with this very elastic base material, but then a very strong, almost elastic band that crisscrosses in an X over the pelvis and around the back and over the hips. And it just holds the core together in a way that is something you really have to experience to understand. But we saw it popping up in NHL locker rooms and on some college football teams. And the gentleman who was running it came to us and said effectively, I've been working on this for 20 years. It's a fantastic product. I have no distribution. I have no marketing. I have no brand. He was struggling to sell many units at a $30 price point. And so we actually got involved and made it a little more commercial just in terms of comfort and appearance, but using his overall concept. And the great thing about it is that when push came to shove at the end, the product was no longer covered by his patents, but we really said, you know what? We're going to pay you the royalty anyhow because we want to encourage people to bring us these great ideas. It ended up selling, you know, at Sporting Goods very well at a much higher price point because the consumers were able to see it and feel it and try it on, and it's been a fantastic success for us and for him. And so he's brought us now his next great idea, which we'll be working to bring to market over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and some of the best ideas come from out there in the field where people are doing sports and they're finding that X is a problem and they try to address it in their own particular way.
That's right, and we want to be open to their solutions because ultimately we were founded by a guy who was a college football player who didn't like the way that sweat-soaked cotton T-shirt felt against his skin, and he found a better solution. And we believe that there's a lot of people out there like that. We want to tap into that resource.
I know you think that there's a little bit of a revolution coming, not just in clothes, but in footwear.
Yeah, I think the same artisanal construction methods that you see in apparel are probably even more pervasive in footwear. You know, it can take up to 200 people to construct a well-made high-end running shoe, for example, and that's just crazy. So there are innovations galore to be had there. We're working on them right now. We're excited to be able to bring them to the consumer. But I think you're starting to see some of it in the highlight boot, which is a pretty niche product for football players, and there are a lot of them, but it's a pretty narrow age range who actually plays competitive football. But as we start to bring some of those innovations, both on the construction and the process side and on the functionality and the comfort side to the consumer, we think we can really change the industry and revolutionize the way that footwear is made.
Kevin Haley, Senior Vice President of Innovation at Under Armour Innovation Lab, joining us from Baltimore. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Kim Blair, Vice President at Cooper Perkins and at the Sports Innovation Program at MIT, let me turn back to you. I saw you reacting when he was talking about footwear being this sort of medieval industry, this sort of old artisanal way. Do you see footwear and clothing changing in that sense that they're very often sewed, maybe not by hand, but by a sewing machine, that kind of thing?
I think one of the core themes that runs under both the topics in apparel and footwear that Kevin was talking about is what engineers often call system integration. And that is looking to find different subcomponents and different pieces of a given system. You know, maybe it's an apparel piece or a footwear piece that can do more than one particular function, provide support, provide moisture management, all those things, so that then you can revolutionize kind of the way the individual components work through the system integration, maybe get rid of some components. And if at the same time you can revolutionize the manufacturing process and drive some of those steps out, that might be really beneficial. Certainly the other piece in all this that I don't think anyone can ignore is the person that's wearing them. And that's where, you know, we're seeing a big push in a lot of industries around personalized products, right? And the shirt that's, you know, made for you because your sweat rate is this on a 90-degree day and really drive it into to the really personalized side. And certainly the artisanal manufacturing processes that Kevin spoke of don't lend themselves well to that environment other than, you know, maybe swapping out colors or adding your name to the side of a shoe.
And do you actually see that kind of customization happening?
Yeah, and that's certainly the tip of it. You know, there's a lot of technologies out there now. I mean, you know, some of the high-end suit shops, for example, have 3D body scanners. So you take it to the next level and you actually walk into this closet effectively that has light scanning, and it literally scans your whole body shape. We've done some research with that with fitting apparel for professional athletes for the NFL and NHL. And again, it's just about personalized customization.
Gihan, do you see this sort of personalization coming to the clothing industry? Is it going to revolutionize what we wear?
Yeah, totally. And there's been some big innovations in the manufacturing processes that allow us to do that. One of our manufacturers that we've seen, they have what's called a CNC cutter. It's a robot that actually cuts the fabric out. And right now we're doing, you know, bulk orders, but one day that can be, you send your measurements online, a robot cuts it out. We're also working with another manufacturer that robotically knits the shirt. There are no seams in it. So it's the future of the design of the clothing, but also how it's manufactured. And it allows you to do some things that, you couldn't do before. You can have a shirt that has, you know, 6 or 7 different panels on it that vent differently, that have different functional attributes. So there's personalization and totally new function as well.
Kevin Rustagi, do you see a lot of firms rising to meet this challenge? I mean, obviously, we all think of these big clothing companies, Ralph Lauren mm-hmm. and Liz Claiborne, and, you know, sure. the kinds of things you see in the mall. Are they all moving this way, or is there going to be just this sort of divergence where there are some companies that are making personalized clothes for you, and then there, we've got mostly, though, people just wearing the sort of old cotton and polyester stuff?
Well, I think what it really comes down to, and I think Kevin Haley put it very well, is open innovation. So if customers want something that is customized, I think what's going to happen is you're going to start to see companies listening to these customers more. And so it's very interesting for us in our experience. You know, we had designed the shirt and released it on Kickstarter. And that's step one, really. It's really interesting because Kickstarter is a platform for messaging directly to us. So we actually had over 1,000 conversations with different customers over the course of 1 month. So will customized clothing be there? I think there's a ton of technology that's coming out. There's a company recently out of Germany that's using your webcam. That's some great stuff that we hope to license in the future. And I think the true innovation comes down to just what Kevin was talking about, actually talking to the customer and listening to them. And I do hope that a lot of the larger companies, you know, adopt those strategies.
And Kim Blair, let me direct the final question to you here. You have talked a little bit about the Star Trek effect, where, you know, obviously in Star Trek, people are wearing the same thing all the time. They're on different planets or doing different things, but they're wearing the same thing all the time. And that's a little bit what we heard from Under Armour. Do you see this notion of being able to wear one layer or one thing and just do many different things, go out in the rain and it repels the rain? Do you see that happening?
That's exactly the one garment concept that Kevin was speaking of, is the one garment that's adaptable for everything. You know, I don't think we're going to see that next year or maybe even 5 years. I think what we'll see is each of the garments that we own being able to adapt to a larger range of functions. The one garment concept may be quite a while away. But again, the bigger question is, would anybody really want to wear the same garment day after day all the time? And so it really gets back to what your customer wants and how you're going to deliver on that value.
Yeah, figuring out the comfort and fashion nexus.
Right.
I'm Kara Miller. We've been talking about innovations in the fashion industry and in clothing. I've been speaking with Kevin Rustagi and Gihan Amarisiri-Wardena, two of the founders of Ministry of Supply, Kim Blair, the vice president of Cooper Perkins, and the founding director of the Sports Innovation Program at MIT. And I spoke earlier with Kevin Haley, senior vice president of innovation at Under Armour Innovation Lab. Thanks to all of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
Do you have a shirt that you really love? One that you feel so groovy in.
And thank you for listening. Remember that you can hear this show or any of our past shows by visiting our website, wgbh.org/innovationhub, and linking to our free iTunes podcast. I'm Kara Miller, and this is Innovation Hub.
I love my shirt. My shirt is so comfortably lovely. Do you have some jeans that you really love? Ones that you feel so groovy in. You don't even mind if they start to fray. That only makes them nicer still. I love my jeans. I love my jeans. My jeans are so comfortably lovely. I love my jeans. I love my jeans. My jeans are so comfortably lovely. When they're taken to the cleaners, I can't wait to get them home again. Yes, I take them to the cleaners. I'd rather wash them in a stream.